I'm telling you, you got me going this morning, Ben Milstead, in hour number two. I am so happy that I took a trip myself, by myself, to Atlanta to watch Fleetwood Mac in concert with Lindsey Buckingham.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I was by myself. And I felt like, you know, one way, sometimes you got to move by yourself or you got to eat by yourself. You look around like, well, I'm a loser. Nobody wants to go with me. But I had one ticket and I went by myself and had great seats and just a great night there down in Phillips Arena, whatever that, you know, that where the Hawks play there. It was fantastic.
It was Phillips at the time,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, something else now. Let me get Tennessee Duke before we jump into hour two. He's been hanging on forever. Tennessee Duke, thanks for your patience. Thanks for hanging on. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good, Mickey. How you guys doing?
Great. We appreciate your patience.
Absolutely. Hey, just a quick thought on the – so, you know, like you mentioned, years ago, Oklahoma, when Nebraska bailed from the Big 12, Oklahoma was rumored at that time also to be, you know, looking to move out. I find it interesting that it comes on the heels of the Big 12 media days, you know, just ending up, and this really wasn't mentioned. And now – you know, yesterday, out of the blue, here it comes. So it tells me that there's something going on behind the scenes. I agree with Ben that there's some issue going on between the two schools and the league. And, you know, who knows what that could be, but I think it's I think one of the two is going to leave the Big 12, if not both of them, this time, because it's coming on the brink of the 12-team playoff. As you mentioned earlier, several years ago, it was talked about the mega conferences, and the SEC has been interested in that for quite a while. Now, the caveat is it's going to screw the schedules up, and that would be it would probably put all the teams playing a 10-game SEC schedule, which I'm not sure that they're all in favor of doing that, but again, you know, there's a lot of, you know, different pieces to this whole thing that some make sense and then some don't make sense. So, you know, Vanderbilt's been rumored over the past couple of years to try to leave the conference. I'm not sure, you know, how much validity there is behind those rumors, because that would cost them a lot of money, even though, you know, they're kind of the whipping boy, you know, of the league. But those two schools, Oklahoma and Texas, I believe at least one, if not both, are going to bail this time. And I think it has to do, bottom line, it's always the money. But I think there's some underlying issues going on with the league and the conference itself, and some things that Texas and Oklahoma are trying to get out of. And probably is some of the TV contracts. But I think there's some other things going on there, too, that they're trying to get away from there now.
Well, all that makes sense. If one leaves, both will leave. But I'm not convinced. I am convinced that both would leave. I'm not convinced they would both go to the same conference. So there is some talk about the Big Ten, some talk about the ACC. And I think they need to explore all those options. I mean, if you are the commissioner of the Big Ten or the commissioner of the ACC right now, you're on the phone with Texas and Oklahoma. And you're feeling out, okay, what are you looking for? What's important to you? What are your priorities? How much money? What would it take? I mean, and you'd be crazy not to. The Pac-12, who's flirted with Texas as well, that certainly needs to be the case. Now, one interesting thing about the timing of it is, and I'm fascinated by the psychology of it, but maybe it was a good guy, a good reporter who did some great investigating and got it. One of the theories out there in my mind is that A&M releases this the day before Jimbo Fisher goes to the SEC media days to get out in front of it, because A&M wants to squash it. A&M does not want Texas in the SEC. So does an A&M source who knows about it leak it out in order to get ahead of it and to get the momentum up against it? So I'll ask you, Tennessee Duke, as a Tennessee fan, you want Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC?
I would love to see one of them. I'm not sure I would want both. It's the regional part of it, in regards to, you know, the regional facet of where their school is. It makes more sense for Oklahoma to me to be in the SEC than it does for Texas, because of the Texas A&M caveat. But if you pin me down, I would think Texas would be the one that would come to the SEC, and Oklahoma would wind up in the Big Ten with Nebraska.
Wouldn't that wouldn't surprise me. I think that's on the table. Don't discount Texas as an independent, though. And I didn't think about this. Yeah, this is one exactly. thing that went in my head. Texas thinks a lot
they're
of themselves.
Big enough to go at, yeah, they're big enough to go at it on their own. That's for sure. They have enough revenue moving that they could certainly make it on their own. They're like Notre Dame. They don't need another. They don't need a conference to help them.
Right.
They need to be reassured of their where their place is, and I think that's foundationally maybe where the problem is with the conference now, with the Big 12 conference with them.
It's a great point. Tennessee Duke, thanks for your patience, man. Hope we have a great day today. Very good stuff there. Ben, let's consider that. Let me read to you Pete Thamel first. Mm-hmm. He said, Texas options include independents and the ACC. He goes, the notion of Texas having some kind of conference wandering eye isn't shocking. The Big 12 grant of rights hasn't heard that term in a while. It expires after 2024 season and its TV contracts. Texas was expected to explore as a free agent market. They're putting themselves in a unique position to consider all options within a few years, according to a high-ranking official, unquote. Most people in the industry expected them to do something. The paradigm for realignment has changed in the past decade since the last realignment, with cable boxes dictated more moves like Rutgers and Maryland to the Big Ten. Streaming has become the new potential financial geyser for college football programs. So, who could offer the ACC, the Texas the best deal? Well, the ACC had a potential to unglue itself from the unwieldy and antiquated television contract if it lured the Longhorns in. The ACC's television deal runs through 2036 and is already considered an anchor that will inhibit the conference's ambitions. Would Texas go there? Who knows? But at the very least, the league offered leverage. The Longhorns also expect to explore independence, as Notre Dame expected to cash in on the national on the next TV deal to even sweeter on the streaming rights. Remember, the streaming rights outlet purchasing and staging 7 or 8 football games a year is much easier than ponying up hundreds of millions to do it with a league package. So, Texas already with the Longhorn Network, could you pull a BYU, a Notre Dame, and have scheduling power and not have to divide money up? So, in sheer dollar amounts, the dollar amounts we mentioned earlier, the SEC is $44 million per team. The Big 12 was $38 million. If you're Texas and you're being offered $60 million mm-hmm. to join the SEC, let's use that as an example. This is a hypothetical. But you could be an independent and make $75 million and don't share it with anybody. Do you have enough of that power to be independent and still get the thing done?
You're going to have a hard time selling me that Texas wanting to go independent in a day and age when it's all about the conference and the conference contract and the stability of that, how much more difficult scheduling has become. To me, that's a hard sell. I mean, in fact,
why is Notre Dame doing it in your mind? Why is Notre Dame so independent?
Well, you got to when they've been independent forever,
right?
They're sort of entrenched in being independent. I mean, that
Jim
is
Jim Phillips, the commissioner of ACC, made a joke the other day. Did you see this joke?
Huh?
He said, two things Notre Dame people love is Catholicism and independence in sports, and they might like independence in sports more than Catholicism.
Right.
And he said that's meant to be a joke, and it was funny. But so let me throw this out there for you. They love the independence at Notre Dame because of scheduling freedom. They get to go to California once a year to face either Southern Cal or Stanford, and those California teams come over. They get to go to Texas. Texas and Notre Dame are playing each other now.
But even with the scheduling, see, the ACC caved what they wanted, and they gave them some scheduling guarantees.
Okay. Well, then let me ask you this. If you're the ACC, you've already caved and given you 4 Notre Dame games a year, correct?
It's either 4 or 5.
Might be 5. Would you – and the other teams say, hey, wait a minute, we don't get to play Notre Dame this year. Could you add Texas to that as well, let them go independent, go, hey, we're going to offer you 5 football games a year? Would you be interested in that, Clemson and Texas playing as much as Clemson and Notre Dame are playing?
I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Because I get it that to get to this. See, there's a little method to my madness over here, buddy. How many years has Notre Dame made the college football playoff as an independent?
Twice?
Once as independent, once with the ACC. But, but still, in their big deal, twice, right? How many years has Texas made the college football playoff as a member of the Big Ten?
Zero.
Big 12. Zero. Now, you're going to tell me you're getting the SEC and had to fight against Alabama and Auburn and LSU and Texas A&M and Oklahoma and Georgia and Florida, and now you're going to think, right now you got to beat TCU. Now, it's again for only one spot. The playoffs might expand, maybe. We think it is. But we're going to jump into that. Or I could take the Notre Dame route. Give me five games from a conference out there somewhere and might make it easier scheduling to get me in the college football playoff.
Yeah,
and not split money.
It just, if it's about money, I don't see the independent route working for Texas.
But they already have, in most cases, yeah, but they already have their own network, though. And it's been a disaster, but maybe when,
yeah, and I mean, you think about, you know, we broke it down a year or so ago, and Notre Dame people were saying this too. They're, Notre Dame would have made more money by being,
right.
I mean, you know, it's, they're, that's not some massive cash grab anymore to be independent.
Agreed.
Even for Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame is more independent now. I don't know that it's based on money as much as it is just that's who they are.
Totally agree with that.
So,
but is Texas that?
So for now, I mean, again, I like.
Don't you think Texas though has that same attitude? We are Texas, just like Notre Dame thinks we are Notre Dame.
Oh yeah, they do. But at the same time, I mean, they're not in a very good spot right now. in fact, when I first saw that headline yesterday, it was two power schools in the Big 12 want to move, and I'm like, wait a minute, when? Texas is a power school?
Yeah.
Right now? Really? When did that happen?
I mentioned this before, that who wins and who loses? The losers, if Texas and Oklahoma leave, what happens to the Big 12? And if you're Baylor or Kansas State or Texas Tech or West Virginia or Oklahoma State or TCU, you're there to kind of – Iowa State as well. You're there to kind of pick up your pieces. Iowa State would walk to Chicago to the Big 10 offices to try to get in there. Iowa State, you know meaning a little bit of a rivalry maybe, but would Iowa want Iowa State in? You know, everybody's protecting their self-interest.
Uh-huh.
If you're the Big 12, I mean, what do you do if the remaining schools? Oklahoma, you mentioned something to me I did not know, that the governor of Oklahoma is an Oklahoma State grad.
Right.
So, another thing I thought was very interesting you mentioned earlier was, imagine these people that are involved in these talks. Because if you're the governor of Oklahoma right now, and you wake up yesterday morning and you read the Houston Chronicle and it says, Oklahoma's looking to go to the Big 12. I mean, the SEC, you go, wait a minute, man. You make some phone calls, right? Don't you call the president? They go, or the board, the president of the board of trustees, whatever, go, hey, wait a minute now. I need to be briefed on some of this, don't I? So, everybody's going to protect their own interest. But what?
Yeah.
Now, TCU and Oklahoma State and Baylor and Texas Tech, they don't have the leverage that Oklahoma and Texas does. And if I was them, I feel like Clemson a few years ago, that you didn't have that power. As I mentioned, though, in the first part of in hour number one, Clemson is protected now because of what Dabo's done in this program. Clemson's not going to be left out of big-time college football in a 16 team conference or whatever it looks like. And one of the things we realized from the last two conference realignments is there's domino effects. We come back, I want to talk about the domino effects for the ACC. What are the ACC's options? Let's assume Oklahoma and Texas go. First, is Texas an option? Is Oklahoma an option? Texas may be more than Oklahoma. Let's talk about that. And then what are the other options that are out there? Paul Shula is going to join us in less than an hour. Clemson has a big cookout. They got two big commitments on Saturday, and they have a cookout coming up this on Sunday, their big all-in cookout. We'll tell you about that and who's expected and what that could mean. Hey, my friends at Donnie Patterson, Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com, PATTAX.com, 859-8289. tax planning, tax consulting, tax evaluations, tax analysis going on over there now. I want to talk to you businesses out there, and it's hundreds of businesses are doing this now with the Patterson Tax Service. They're doing their daily bookkeeping, payroll, accounting stuff. They're getting that out of your hair. Let's use an example of you as a construction company right now. You're building, and you get new customers, new clients, and you got your own labor to worry about. You got to get materials in. You didn't get into construction to get into accounting end of it. Just outsource this. That allows you more freedom. You're gonna spend more time with your family, more time with your clients, more time with your labor, and more time marketing your company. You don't want to do the red tape. Let them do it. They do a great job of it. So many companies are freeing themselves up, and that investment means more money to you, and in a better for your bottom line. The Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com, 859-8289. Much more right after this.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only home of the lifetime warranty, but the winner of the Nissan Award of Excellence for 3 years in a row. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selections of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
If you could get a 15-year fixed loan for the same payment as your old 30-year fixed, why wouldn't you? Give Gary the Mortgage Expert a call about his 2.25% 15-year fixed mortgage, 2.25%. Call 979-1111, 979-1111, or go to GaryTheMortgageExpert.com. Gary's NMLS number 107429, Rate Saver Mortgage NMLS number 1847969. Based on $200,000 loan with 30% equity, APR 2.43%, 740 credit score, subject to approval, equal housing lender.
It's like Christmas in July at Reed's Jewelers this month. And take it from me, Santa and his elves are in a joyous mood in the Haywood Mall. For example, you can get up to 18 months financing on qualifying diamond purchases of $3,000 or more with your Reed's Jewelers credit card. Imagine the look on her face when you ask her to spend the rest of her life with you. Perhaps she's already your wife, so a pair of beautiful diamond earrings from Reed's would be perfect. While you're using your Reed's Jewelers credit card, remember you can earn 6 points for every dollar you spend this month. I've been a Reed's Jewelers customer for years, and you should be as well. Whether it's an engagement ring, a Swiss watch, or a pair of diamond earrings, I encourage you to shop with my team at Reed's Jewelers. They're North America's largest family-owned jeweler, celebrating 75 years in business, in the Haywood Mall or online at Reed's.com.
My Garage by Essex, the go-to place for vehicle maintenance. Whether it's your newer or older vehicle, we even repair those old classics of your grandparents that need some major maintenance or repairs to keep them going like the old days. We are professionals that perform high-quality workmanship with high-quality parts. Please stop in to see us at 551 Old Greenville Highway, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or give us a call at 864-633-5800.
It should come as no surprise. The service team at George Coleman Ford does business just like the sales and collision repair teams. They offer service on any vehicle, make, or model. They don't hit you with any hidden fees. They're even open Saturday until 1. And get this, they offer free pickup and delivery to service your vehicle. They take such good care of people, they even have customers who drive nearly 2 hours each way to have George Coleman Ford service their vehicle. Call them at 834-6080 to service yours.
Get the edge at Tri-County, in the top 1% nationwide for successful transfers. Training today's technology for tomorrow's workforce, Tri-County Technical College is now registering for exciting careers as Cisco network administrators and computer technicians. You can learn more at tctc.edu/CIT. Tri-County Technical College offers you the opportunity to gain the skills employers are looking for in today's workforce. Get the edge today at tctc.edu/CIT.
This is for the men who never settle, the ones who miss the fairway all day and still pull out the big stick, the type of guys who will always prefer to be behind the grill than in front of the camera, and the men who never let their friends forget about a high school nickname. This is the Lodge Mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Who wants to settle for a single TV? With more TVs, bigger screens, plus our fabulous scenic views, there's more to watch at Twin Peaks.
covering Spartanburg County with 15 hours of local sports programming. AM 1560, The Roar.
All right, so I want to get into the ACC stuff in a second, but I want to consider, let's consider this from South Carolina standpoint. Ben, I put together the two divisions, Texas and Oklahoma. In case you're just joining us, there's a report out to Houston Chronicle and others now reporting it that Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC, and now others, there's a report out about maybe Oklahoma and the Big Ten, and there's a report about Texas and the ACC are independent. So there's some movement going on, the next round of expansion. I've just arbitrarily put down 1 through 8 of each side. I moved Missouri to the west, Texas and Oklahoma to the west, and the ACC, SEC, and then Alabama and Auburn to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume a 10-game schedule. And so give me 3 numbers between 1 and 8 arbitrarily, just to throw numbers up and see what it could potentially look like for South Carolina.
1, 3, 5.
1, 3, and 5. Oh, you don't want this. So here's South Carolina's schedule, okay? Let's say you open up on there. You're talking about a 12-game schedule? You're going to 10 games if you do this to create the money to make this work.
Right.
10 SEC games. 12-game schedule. Clemson, you're going to play Clemson, right?
Right.
So I'm going to give you, you're going to play Eastern Illinois to open up. And you're going to play Clemson to end the season. And in between, you're going to play, I tell you what, I'm going to rotate these as far as home and away, home and away.
Okay.
All right? You want home first or away first?
Let's go home first.
All right. You get Alabama at home, you go to Auburn. You get Georgia at home, you go to Tennessee. You get Florida at home, you go to Kentucky. You get Vanderbilt at home, you go to Texas. You get LSU at home, you go to Texas A&M. Your road schedules then.
What year was it that they went that they didn't win a game? What year was that?
2001.
Okay.
No, 2000. Or 99.
Do we still have any of those songs around about going 0-11? We have any of those?
On the years.
Might need them.
On the year you go to Clemson, your road games will be Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Clemson. Your home games will be Eastern Illinois in this case, but then Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and LSU. How can you say if you're Shane Beamer, let's do that. That makes sense. I want to do that one. Can I do a quick win game with you on that schedule?
Sure.
Well, I'm going to give you a win with Eastern Illinois.
Win, baby, win.
Alabama at home?
No.
Auburn on the road?
See, you're going to get all these Gamecock fans mad at me.
No, I'm just who you are. Like, you got to look in the mirror. So my point is this is what you're going to sign up for? Auburn on the road? On the road?
No.
I agree. Tennessee at home?
No. Maybe.
Florida on the road?
No.
I mean, Florida at home?
No.
Kentucky on the road?
No.
Vanderbilt at home?
Yes.
Texas on the road?
No.
LSU at home?
No.
A&M on the road?
No.
And Clemson?
No.
That's 2-10? Like, what? How are you going to sign up for that and go, I want that? Yeah, you're going to make more money.
You stand in front of your fans and go, look, I know we're 2-10, but look at all this money we just made.
This is a very good post on.
Do you hang banners for money? Do you do that? Do you have like a $50 million banner and a how does that look in a trophy case?
On BigSpur.com yesterday.
Uh-huh. Change it to BigMoney.com?
One of the posters said, if this happens, we need to immediately shift our attention to basketball and become a basketball school. You can't. Hey, but Oklahoma and Texas are good in basketball in a lot of these years.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, now Texas said, we're not going to look to jump to the ACC. No, you're not going to give up that. First of all, you don't want to call uncle. But if you're Kentucky or Vanderbilt or South Carolina, or Mississippi or Mississippi State, I don't know why you want to be sliding down the trough two more spots. Money is money, yeah. But, man. And prestige is prestige. But, man. Let me get George in here, 654 Roar. Hey, George, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Doing good. Hey, what if this is just the first play in the four mega conferences? It is. So the sacrificial conference is the Big 12.
Start dividing them up, dividing all the pieces
up. Pac-12, the Big 10. Yeah. So basically, it makes sense geographically. You got the Pac-12, the Big or 16, the Big 16, the Southeast Conference, and the ACCs. You got the country split up in four groups.
If you do that, but no, George, if you do that, then if we have decided that we want to go 4-16s, then I think we've got to decide. Yeah, the geography is part of that, but also I think we got to decide a little bit about equity and about equality in it too, because what is the point of having 4-16s and having equal, maybe equal partnerships of all those, but yet 3/4 of the best teams in college football are going to be in one of the 4-16s. I mean, if I'm Texas and Oklahoma, I'm much more interested in going to the Pac-12 as far as equity is concerned. And if I'm Texas and Oklahoma, think about this. From a recruiting standpoint, if I've got my choice of going Pac-12 or SEC, if we're going to 4-16s anyway, then why am I going to go try to compete against Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Florida State and Clemson over in the East, where I can go out west and I can go to California and have to compete against Southern Cal and Cal and Stanford and UCLA, and I get the West Coast, which is a hot recruiting territory. So if we're going to divide them up anyway, I think we got to talk about equity, don't we? Or equality, well, not equity, equality, don't we?
Yeah, but those recruiting areas are already open because of streaming and social media and all that. So the recruiting base is now U.S. anyway, the whole country. So it isn't going to be recruiting because you're already recruiting in those. I mean, how many people from California are not staying in California now?
Yeah, but if you're going to tell your parents, Danny Ford did this years ago. He would tell folks in North Carolina, hey, we're going to play two games a year in your state, and then we're close driving to you anyway. So, the more exposure you play in those states, when Texas comes to L.A. and plays UCLA and Southern Cal, or Texas goes to Northern California and plays Stanford or California, and it's in their news more cycle, you're going to recruit better if you've got a skin in the game, scheduling-wise at least. I don't know. I think you're right. I think you're 100% right that this is the first dominoes of mega conferences and the 16 teams as far as breaking away from the NCAA. This is the Power Five breaking away. Now, how the cookie crumbles,
so the question,
I don't know.
The question I got, though, is the ACC, you wouldn't pick up West Virginia because at some point academics has to be in the question. Then West Virginia never got in because their academics doesn't meet the ACC standards.
Why? Let me ask you this, though. I think West Virginia and Notre Dame would be here too, but.
So why would we bring academics into a money discussion?
but why would academics be a part of that? I don't understand it. We're talking about an athletic conference. Why does academics have anything to do with it?
Well, at some point, doesn't your conference have some, you say, hey, we want academics to be a part of this. It says, Dabo did say, it's still academics and, going to school and getting the thing, that all still has to play a part.
I don't understand why, though. Just because it always has, or it did before. I don't think academics has anything to do with it.
I think that was a cop-out at one point in who you...
I do know this for a fact, or I've been told this. I don't know this for a fact. I've been told this, that the reason that West Virginia was not invited the first time is that several presidents, elitist, and the ACC didn't want West Virginia fans on their campuses in the fall a couple of Saturdays a year. Now, boy, what an elitist attitude that is.
Yeah, but, at one time, the discussion of academics coming into a conference was a thing, but I don't think that's a thing any longer. And from a Clemson standpoint, you get your degree from Clemson University, not from the Atlantic Coast Conference,
Texas
says it doesn't change anything.
I agree with that.
And think about the inequities in the SEC with some of their teams. Academically, I mean, you got Vanderbilt in there.
I agree with that. We got Vanderbilt and Mississippi State and Oklahoma State.
In the same conference.
Texture says, this is from 1155. You're missing the bigger story here. I heard the whole Big 12 was coming to form a 24-team super conference. Chip Brown of the 247 Longhorn site had said he had heard about Texas independence and he had heard about the SEC stuff, but he had heard merger between Big 12 and SEC. That's what he was reporting, that his, before all this happened, that it was the whole Big 12 and the SEC merging.
See, that almost makes more sense to me than just two teams. I go back to the what I said originally. Keep in mind, this story started with that Texas and Oklahoma contacted the SEC. First, I would tell you, this is probably not the only time this has ever happened, okay? I would imagine there are schools who are always contacting, you know, putting out those feelers for this kind of thing. There's not a story yet anywhere that says the SEC wants this to happen. There's not a story that I've seen that says, hey, this is the first domino to the mega conferences. You asked a while ago, well, what does this mean for other conferences? I think we're just getting ahead of ourselves to assume that the ACC or the Big Ten or the Pac-12 have to do anything if this happens. I don't know that Oklahoma and Texas going into the SEC impacts the ACC. I really don't.
Okay.
Think about this, Mickey. You're talking then about one conference having 16 teams, another conference having 14 in football, 15 in basketball. There's not a big difference. And we already have conferences now, one conference with 14 and another conference with 10.
Yeah.
I don't know that you have to do anything.
Except for money-wise, because you're trying to compete and getting bigger names out there. Because, I mean, if Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, then their seat at the table becomes bigger, correct? And that's obvious to me. Their power, influence in college football becomes bigger, right? A 12-team conference now, you're going to talk about, I mean, half the teams being from one conference. I mean, theoretically, you can say that, right? So, and oh, by the way, let's back all the way up. We're not for sure 12-team playoff yet. That's not been voted in yet because they're getting some pushback, I should say, on that right now. So the thing that we noticed the last time, there's panic in the streets when this happens. Mm-hmm. And that's why you saw when one domino falls from one conference, other ones think, I got to do something. We have to go about that way. I totally agree with all of that. In a bigger picture, though, the hard part of getting this happening is, are we collective? Are we individuals? If we are collective, then we need to do what is best for college athletics, best for our brethren, best for our conferences, best for each other. Do you get the sense that Texas cares about Oklahoma, that Oklahoma cares about Oklahoma State, that A&M cares about Texas, because we're all in this together and we all got a big golden goose out there that we can't kill? Or do you get the sense that Texas is going to do what's best for Texas and screw everybody else? Oklahoma's going to do what's best for them, screw everybody else. The SEC's going to do what's best for them, screw everybody else. The ACC's going to do what's best for them, screw everybody else. Are we a collective or are we individuals throughout all this? And I think it's hard to get everybody on the same page when we're all selfish and trying to do what's best for us.
First and foremost, the colleges and presidents college presidents and ADs, their job is to look out for themselves, not for their conference. So their job description tells you that they're supposed to look out for themselves. Mickey, when you talk about the money, let's just think about it this way too. If you are, let's say you make $40 million a year from your conference right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like give me a number. If you are South Carolina, and I'm trying to sell this to you as a conference, Commissioner Mickey, President Mickey, this is why you need to vote for this to allow Oklahoma and Texas into your elite conference.
Right. Right now you're making 44.8.
Okay. So
you need to know how much it's going to be?
Right now you're making $45 million a year. Mm-hmm. How much do I need to tell you you're going to make per year in order for this to happen?
Well, my costs are going to go up.
Right.
Because my tennis team and my volleyball teams and my track teams are going to have to go to Texas and Oklahoma now. And that's and my, you know, that's a bunch. My football teams are going and my basketball teams. That's a lot of travel, a lot of air flights, a lot of hotels, a lot of meals. And I'm going farther.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, I'm having to host. And if I'm hosting, I'm hosting bigger events. I mean, Oklahoma softball coming to your town now means I've got to pay more security. I got maybe more tickets, more concessions, maybe making more money off of it maybe. But this is a bigger deal now.
So not only do you need to cover your expenses,
right,
then you also need – you need some cheddar on top to make it worth your while.
I'm saying, to me, if I'm going to make 44, but I'm going to be spending five more, it's got to be more than 50. And if I'm moving farther down the trough from a competitive standpoint, there's some prestige in there, but you got to be more than 60. I'm saying you need to come up with $75 million for me.
Wow.
I mean, or else.
So, okay. I mean, no, I can buy that. So what you're saying then, for you to get – $30 million more per year.
Mm-hmm.
That means
times 16.
Plus, well, and,
times 15.
And, well, it's times more than that because you've got two teams now that are starting at zero,
right,
from a television contract.
Right.
So you're talking. So this contract, in order for you, South Carolina, to get $30 million more a year, this television contract has to be north of $500 million
yeah.
dollars
oh, yeah.
a year.
Yeah,
but more right. than what it is now.
Right.
So the television, Oklahoma and Texas have to be worth more than $570 million per year.
Let me ask
from
you
a
this.
Television standpoint.
Let me ask you this.
But, I mean, right there. Think about what I just said.
It's a lot of money.
$500 million.
A lot of commas, a lot of zeros. I get all that. What does it cost you to go 3-9? And South Carolina's found this out. And Texas said, hey, well that means you're assuming nobody's ever going to get better. Well, it hadn't worked for Kentucky and Vanderbilt so far. So I'm not going to assume that I'm going to add Texas and Oklahoma because I'm going to be playing Alabama and Auburn every single year now for the divisions to work out right. Then – so all of a sudden, I'm taking a couple more losses on this thing, man. My rebuilding process slows down a little bit. I don't know. I'm going farther down the trough. I can't see me even being better than them. I don't have the resources that Texas has. I can't compete with all that. So what does a 3-9 or a 4-8 season cost you? Just costs a bunch of people, a bunch of jobs and millions of dollars in reshuffling staffs. So you better make it worth my time. I want to touch on one other point, though, going back to this. From my original point, though, was about trust. Oklahoma State, and there's a prepared statement yesterday talked about trust and money. We'll take a break. Come back much more after this.
Granger Nissan of Anderson knows cars and wants to help you know yours. Right now is a great time to see the value of your car or trade-in for an upgrade. With selections from Altimas to Titans, see what Granger Nissan has in store for you and your family to make new memories. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Summer is here, and it's time to shed that dad bod, get more energy, and perform like a stallion when it counts. Call Low Country Male today and get on a testosterone replacement plan. For just $210 a month, our team will have you feeling like a new man. Plans include testosterone labs and doctor visits. We offer ED, weight loss, peptides, and hair replacement. Want to get bigger, stronger, and last longer in the bedroom? Ask us about the amazing P-Shot. Come help us make men men again. LowCountryMail.com.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
Whenever you head out the door to gather groceries for you and your family, head to your local Ingles. That's what we do in my household, and here are some of the great reasons why. Ingles is truly locally owned, just up the road in Black Mountain outside of Asheville. Select Ingles locations offer Starbucks, fuel savings with your Ingles Advantage card, and a full-service pharmacy, many with drive-thrus. Each week, you'll find tons of savings in the Ingles sales circular, from fresh fruit and vegetables to meats, seafood, pork, and poultry. Need an event catered at home, work, or for a special occasion? Talk to the Ingles Deli and Bakery Department, and they'll get you set up. How about flowers for a special someone? Many Ingles locations feature a floral department with prices that can't be beat. Don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself why Ingles is where you need to shop for groceries. One team, one community. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
When you're looking for the beautiful gift she deserves, do what I do. Shop at Turner's Jewelers. They have an amazing selection of silver, gold, precious gems, and diamonds. And Turner's can create a custom piece she'll absolutely treasure, whatever the occasion. Trust a tradition of family excellence for more than 60 years. Shop now at turnersjewelers.com or visit them today in the Applewood Shopping Center next to Belk and Seneca. Southern hospitality meets diamond know-how at Turner's Jewelers.
Hey, Tiger fans, football season is right around the corner, and it's time to come back home to Clemson. As you make your plans to be in Death Valley this fall, we have you covered with ticket options. Whether you want to attend all six home games with a season ticket or attend three games with our three-game flex pack. And now single-game tickets are on sale for as low as $45. All those options are available right now on clemsontigers.com/football tickets. Secure your tickets to come back home to Clemson.
Flagship station for Clemson football. We are the Roar.
I watched the glee while you kicked their queens for pretend decades for the god they made. I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys? When after all,
if you don't make it in sports radio, you can be a DJ because you're spinning them here today, Ben Milstead. Hey, my friends over at Katechi, C-A-T-E-C-H-E.com. Let the Katechi take care of you and some really cool things they've got going on now. They want to host your meetings. They want to host your business meetings. They've got they can accommodate 20 or 30 people at their lake house. They can accommodate, I don't know, 10 or 12 at their house right there, the cabin right off the golf course, and they can accommodate 8 to 10 to 15 in their four suites at their 40,000 square foot clubhouse. So they've got all of these, and by the meeting spaces, that the high tech Wi-Fi, all this, you know, high tech as far as hosting and video conferencing, they can do all that. But if you want to bring people in from Atlanta or Charlotte, it's halfway between Clemson and Athens. They've got so many advantages for retreats, for you getting away, for your businesses, for, I don't know, bachelor parties or for family reunions or for just getaway weekends. Do that. The food is great. The golf is great. The accommodations are great. The beauty. Weddings, they do an unbelievable job of hosting weddings almost every weekend now. So get in that line for the wedding stuff, CATEECHE.com. Two quick points, Ben. I mentioned the trust thing because – Oklahoma State came out with their statement, and I'm going to paraphrase it here, but it says, we're putting a lot of trust in this. It's a cutthroat business world, man. If you're backdooring people and if you're in all these meetings, you're going behind people's back to do all this kind of stuff, man, that's a cutthroat deal because you've got hundreds, if not, well, you got thousands of lives depending on this revenue and stuff. And again, you're looking out for yourself first, but well, I thought Oklahoma State made a good point. We're putting a lot of trust in people that they're not doing what they're saying they're not doing right now. And I think that's important, at least at 53 years old now. That's important to me. I thought they played a pretty good emotional card there of ethics and morals and values through all this.
It should be. I'm with you on that, Mickey. But at the end of the day in business and nowadays, I hate to say this, but it's the truth. You can't afford to really trust anybody when it comes to business. You can't.
Ouch. The other thing you mentioned to me during the break was name the, let's go over the expansions in the past. David Simpsonville Delvin, I'm coming to you. But go over the ones in the past, and did they work out?
Yeah, I just was sitting here thinking, you know, the grass is always, always, always greener on the other side until you get to the other side and realize it's not. Or it might be greener because it's been fertilized, if you know what I mean. What's the last school who made a lateral conference move and it worked out? They're just astronomically better off than they were before. And I say a lateral move because I think you could say Louisville is better off.
I don't know if Louisville is better off. Louisville was a member of the Big East from 2005 until 2012 and American Conference 2013 before moving to the ACC. In those Big East years, Louisville had they finished sixth in the country and won the Orange Bowl by going 12-1 in 2006. The last 2 years before they joined the ACC, Louisville was 23-3 and won a Sugar Bowl and won a Russell Athletic Bowl, both under Charlie Strong. They were 12-1, 11-2, and they finished in the top 15 in the country in both years. Since then, Louisville's not won double-digit games, and Louisville went from 11-2 and 12-1 and winning the Sugar Bowl to 9-4, 8-5, 9-4, 8-5, 2-10, 8-5, 4-7. I don't think Louisville football is any better now than it was before they joined the ACC.
Oh, I do.
Really?
Yeah, I do. They were kind of wandering in the wilderness, though. I mean, they were jumping around. I didn't even really think of them as a.
But like, man, the numbers point out otherwise. Even in Conference USA, but in 2004, they were 11-1. They finished sixth in the country when in Conference USA in 2004. They finished sixth in the country in 2006 in the Big East and went 12-1. And then Charlie Strong's last team in the Big East and the only team in the American, 11-2 and 12-1, and finished the top 15 in the country and won the Sugar Bowl. Now,
okay, I didn't realize they were that consistent. I knew they had had a season here and there, here or there.
Now they're not going to bowl games. Are they losing the Tax Slayer Bowl or the Belk Bowl? I don't think it's worked out for them. Another one is Miami, and Miami not just for football, but Miami baseball is nowhere near what it used to be. Let me give you what Miami did in the last 4 years of the Big East. All right. Now, I'm not going to go back to the independent days. They won the national championship in 83 as an independent. They won it in 87 as an independent, and they won it in 89 as an independent. But let me give you the Big 12 year. I'm sorry, the Big East years for Miami. They were in the Big East from 91 to 2003. They went 12-0, won the national championship in 91. They went 11-1, lost the national championship game in the Sugar Bowl, and finished third in the country in 92. 9-3, finished 15th in the country, lost the Fiesta Bowl in 93. In 94, they were 10-2, finished 6th in the country, and lost in the Orange Bowl. An 8-3 year in 95 in probation. Then the Big East, 9-3, 14th in the country, won the Carquest Bowl, 5-6, rebuilding under Butch Davis, but he gets it back. They go 9-3, finished 20th in the country in 98. In 99, 9-4, finished 15th in the country, won the Gator Bowl. In 2000, 11-1, finished 2nd in the country, and won the Sugar Bowl. In 2001, 12-0, maybe the greatest team in college football history, won the national championship in the Rose Bowl. 12-1, finished 2nd in the country, lost in the Fiesta Bowl national championship game, and then 11-2, won the Orange Bowl and finished 5th in the country. Since then, they joined the AC in 2004. Since then, they have no top 10 finishes. They've not won a major bowl game. They've only played in the Orange Bowl once. They played in one major bowl game of the big, you know, the big New Year's Day 6 stuff. And they've had one season where they won double-digit games. They went 10-3 when Mark Rick, and they lost in the Orange Bowl. That 1 year they went there and lost to Clemson in the ACC Championship game. The rest of the years are a lot of 5-7s, a lot of 7-6s, a lot of 6-6s. Miami's nowhere near as good in football as they were in the Big East.
No, and look, when I ask you the question, I'm thinking big picture, entire athletic department. Without going into all the detail, is Missouri better off? Maybe marginally. West Virginia?
West Virginia's not any better.
No, Nebraska any better?
No, not even close.
Boston College any better?
Not even close.
Syracuse any better?
Not even close.
Part
of that, though.
Texas A&M, maybe. I don't know.
But the reason that is the case is because you got away from your identity of who you are, and we did it for geography reasons, that Boston College is not an ACC team.
I tell you, if you want to go way back, South Carolina any better?
No.
From leaving the ACC?
I mean, they are money-wise, but not on the field-wise.
I don't think your athletic department. That's a bad one because it's been so long.
But Boston College is not an ACC team. They're a Big East team. And so is Syracuse, and so is Pittsburgh.
My point, and we'll go to the phone. You change conferences, there's no guarantee of automatic success or that you are better off. And in many cases, it's the opposite.
I agree. Three phone calls. Let's get to all three in this hour. Paul Strelo at 805. Delvin, you've been very patient. Thanks for your patience. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Bless going 200 miles an hour this morning. I have my caffeine. I'm ready to rock.
You talking about Oklahoma State comments. What about Texas and Oklahoma comments? We don't answer anonymous rumors. That's kind of vague to me.
What they said was, yes, we're talking to them without saying, yes, we're talking to them. They're talking to them. It's obvious they're talking to them.
And Mickey, what if this don't work out for them? How are you going to go back into the Big 12 to the other schools, which you did? Guys, we were just flirting. We weren't really trying to go into the SEC.
A lot of men try to tell their girlfriends that, oh, no, I wasn't asking her out. I was, we were talking about, yeah. Let me know how that works.
How they going to make that up to the Big 12? And if you buy a Bosley, you just had your Big, I was hoping Big 12 media days with this week and this came out during Big 12 media days, how they would have handled the situation. Man, they had it last week. It's going to be interesting how Bob Bosley handled the situation. And we already know what Texas A&M is for, because they said they don't want Texas in the SEC. They want it, but that's why they love, because they got the Longhorn Network and all that stuff. So yep. they're gonna be interested too, because you know the SEC got their own network. You think they gonna want some of that Longhorn Network money? You know, they ain't gonna let Texas keep their Longhorn Network.
You know, I panic all the time here. I'm the leader of panic sometimes, and the scaremongering. What we were told with the Longhorn Network, Delvin, and I appreciate the phone call, bud. Have a great day. Ben, we were told the Longhorn Network is going to lead to this unprecedented money stream, and that's going to mean Texas is going to win all these championships. They hadn't made the college football playoff.
And their network hadn't really affected anybody else.
The network's been a disaster.
It hasn't been a threat.
No, it's been a disaster. Dave is in Simpsonville. Dave, thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Doing great. Appreciate you getting me in. And you know, the BYU network is doing great in and of itself, too. You know, you go back and talk about Miami, and they have the indignity of losing to South Carolina in the Wheeland Poulan Bowl in Shreveport. And then what you're talking about, Louisville, is that clear indication that they should have opened the purse strings to keep Charlie Strong from making the biggest mistake of his life going to Texas. Because had he stayed at Louisville, they may have done some really good things in the ACC, as opposed to just being a bottom feeder. But real quickly, and I'll get off, if this thing does come to fruition, what is that? How does the ACC survive? Because you've got maybe four teams in the ACC, that maybe five, that could actually compete in a playoff situation. So you've got, what, 11, 12, you got 10 teams that have no shot. And then in the SEC, you've talked about Kentucky, you've talked about Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. Do those teams file off together? Do they get into the other five? You know, when we talk about Cincinnati and Memphis and those guys, how did those teams play out? Because at some point, we know that the big guys are going to eventually branch off and create their own world. So what does that do for the little guy? And I'll take it off the air, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Dave. I would not – well –
Nobody changes conferences for competition's sake, though. I mean, you always say that – you always talk up the next one. That's not why you make these moves. You make these moves for financial reasons.
I looked this up just now. Money – I mean, competition-wise, Missouri. Because you say, well, someone takes it. Missouri won the East twice. Okay. The 10 years – they've been in the SEC now for 10 years. Let me go to the 10 years previous in the Big 10 – Big 12 compared to this. They won more football games in the Big 12. They had more double-digit wins in the Big 12. They had more ranked seasons in the Big 12 the previous 10 years than the 10 years of the SEC, and even a higher rank. Even when they finished fifth in 2013 in the SEC, in 2007 they finished fourth in the country by going 12-2 with Gary Payton and won the Cotton Bowl. So on the mega years, the big years, they were ranked more, won more games, won more double-digit games. They had more success in the Big 12 than they did in the SEC.
it's never about the competition.
You're right. It's only about
never
the money.
About the competition.
It's about and if it,
and I'm not pulling for a school who needs to change conferences to be better or worse based on competition. Like, well, we want to move because we can't win, or we want to move because, you know, we want. To me, that's not at all what this is about.
Sorry, I couldn't get to you guys. I'll get to you after Paul Strelo if you guys want to hang on. We come back. Clemson got two commitments over the weekend. We've talked about that. We'll kind of recap those commitments, but they have a huge recruiting weekend this weekend with the all.